Good morning. We are over a week into the Masechta. We're still in the first parak of the Masechta and discussing various issues regarding what you can and cannot do in Chol HaMoed. The first week of the Masechta dealt with the taking care of your fields. So you have fields, they're yielding produce. So you want to make sure that you don't ruin the fields with a week of neglect. So there are certain maintenance activities that you could do in order to make sure that your fields are preserved. So mostly we talked about irrigation. But we talked about other ways in terms of maintaining the field. Then, in yesterday's daf, the Mishnah took us to another subject, and that is the looking at Saras on Chol HaMoed. So is a Kohen allowed to go over and paskin on Saras on Chol HaMoed? So Saras and Chol HaMoed literally has nothing to do with one another. You didn't get Saras because of Chol HaMoed. But nevertheless, you are starting to show symptoms of Saras. You have a white spot on your skin, and you now are presenting to the Kohen, and the Kohen has to paskin. In other words, the halach is that the Kohen has to paskin. Real interesting, Meshech Chachma, why the Kohanim are paskining, meaning this is not a voda, this has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Why are the Kohanim paskining on Saras? There's a really interesting Meshech Chachma. I'm not going to say it over right now. Anyway, so the Kohen is going to be paskining. So is he allowed to paskin on Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah equivocates on this issue. Mishnah brings down a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Remeir says, yes, he can. And the Chachamim says, no, he cannot. Now, the reason behind the Chachamim, as we learned in yesterday's daf, is because, according to the Chachamim, once you go to the Kohen, he has to give up sock. And if he's going to tell you that you're Tamei, so you just received news on Chol HaMoed that you're Tamei, Tumas Saras, and now you have to go through all the processes of being Tamei, and it's going to share your Simchas Yantav. That is Shitas, that's the Shita of the Chachamim / Rabbi Yossi. Rav Meir, on the other hand, agrees fundamentally that if you learn that you're tummy, you're going to be sad. It just happens to be that Rav Meir says that what the Kohen can do is the Kohen can just simply say, come back to me in a week. Meaning, even if he sees the nega, and even if he thinks it's going to be tzaras, but he doesn't have to paskin. And until the point where he paskins, it's not tzaras. Okay. Which means now, here's what we're saying, that the psak is going to make you a mitzora, meaning having the tzaras itself is obviously step one, but step two, a critical step, is that the Kohen has to paskin that it's tzaras, and until he does so you're not a mitzora per se. Just out of curiosity, I know it's a klutz kasha, I know it's not a, but in other words, let's say you have tzaras and just simply ignore the Kohen for the rest of, you know, for the rest of time. In other words, for the rest of your life. Can you do that? It's a klutz kasha. There's got to be some, I'm not sure how to articulate an answer to that, but it can be. But anyway, but at least during Chol HaMoed, so you have a right of, so again, the machlokis in the Mishnah is whether or not the Kohen can postpone his pronouncement of Tzaras for a week. According to Reb Meir, he's allowed to postpone. According to the Chachamim, he cannot. But they both agree, that once he declares you to be a Mitzora, now you have Tzaras. Even though the actual physical tzaras itself is already on you, you're already symptomatic. It just happens to be that until he registers, he renders a psak, so you're not a mitzora. The Gemara now picks up on exactly this point. And lemeimra. So we're on Zayin Amud Beis, and we're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the second word in the line. And lemeimra, and the Gemara now wants to know. So you mean to tell me, Dibbe Kohen Talia Milsa. So everything's going to be totally on the Kohen, as we just discovered in our Mishnah. So in the Gemara says, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Ve'atanya, uviyom eros bo. So let's take a look at a couple of psukim as it relates to the Mitzora. So one pasuk that we're going to be focusing on is uviyom eros bo, on the day in which you present yourself to the Kohen. So yesh yom she'atarah bo, v'yesh yom she'iatarah bo. Meaning that some days you're going to go to the Kohen and present yourself to the Kohen, and some days you're not going to go to the Kohen. Mikan amru. So from here, chasen shenol bonega. So let's say you're a chasan, and lo and behold, so you have a tzaras, and it's your chasna. And now it's going to be a bit of a challenge. In the beginning of the Gemara Ksuvos, so we had a similar challenge in which the chasan also had a funeral to do as well. In other words, he had both a simcha and a funeral. And what should which one should we do now, and which one should we postpone? So see the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvos, which has exactly that discussion. But anyway, over here, so he's a chasan, he has saras. So now what do you do? So nosan lo zayin yemei mishta lo leveso luksuso. V'chein beregel, nosan lo shivas yemei regel. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so what we're going to tell the chasan is come back in a week. Meaning, enjoy your chasna, enjoy your zayin yemei mishta, your sheva brachos, and then you'll come back in a week. And in a week from now, that'll be the yom. Meaning, the pasuk says of a yom heros bo. So uva yom heros bo is simply going to be a function of on the day. And the day doesn't have to be today. It'll be a week from now. Enjoy your chasna. Enjoy the sheva brachos and come back. That sheet is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer and Otsarich. So Rabbi says, look, in principle, I agree with your point. It's just that I didn't need your pasuk. I have a different pasuk. Hare Omer. Vitziva kono fino sabayis. So this is talking about nige batim. So there are three types of tsaras. Tsaras adam, tsaras of begadim, and tsaras of batim. So over here, this is in category number three, which is really the beginning of Parshas Metzora. First, Parshas Metzora goes through the Tara process, and then afterwards introduces us to Nige Batim, and there in Perek Yedaleh, V'tziva Kon, Fino Sabayis. So prior to the house being rendered a house of Tzaras, meaning that the discoloration is mamish on the walls of the house, so the Kohen's going to come in, and the Kohen's going to render a decision. I got a great idea. Before the Kohen comes in and renders a decision, so what we're going to do is that we're going to clear the house. Why? Because the house is not tummy until the Kohen goes in there and says and dictates that it's tummy. So again, same point. So the Vitziva Kohen Fino Sabayis Im Mamtinen Lo L'Dvar Rishus Kol Shekein L'Dvar Mitzvah. Now over here, what are we talking about? We're just talking about salvaging all the kelim in the house. Is there a mitzvah to do so? No. Yeah. In other words, there is certainly an idea to be frugal and to not waste money. But at the same time, however, we're not talking about a mitzvah. Unlike the case of the chasna, where the chasna and kala are getting married, that's clearly a mitzvah. Over here, it's not even a mitzvah, it's a dvar rishus. And over here, if a dvar rishus, by dvar rishus, we could say that we could postpone and delay in order to save money. So for sure, it goes without saying that we can postpone and delay in order to accomplish a mitzvah. Good. So now what we have are tanaim, they're arguing, but they're not really arguing. Meaning they both agree, Saras, Tumas Saras is not going to be rendered. It won't have a status until the Kohen says so. They both agree. It's just now a question of where they derive that point from. Either it's coming from Uva Yom Heres Bo, or it's coming from the Pasuk of Vitziva HaKohen. So the Gemara wants to know, my Beinayu. So is there going to be an actual Nafkamina based on the two? So the Gemara says, maybe. And maybe not. So Amar Abai Mashmas Darshanika by now. So Abai says no practical difference between the two positions. Just Mashmas. It's just a question of where you darshan it from. Do you darshan from one pasuk or the other pasuk? But practically speaking, halachically speaking, no nafkamina. Rava Amar Davar Shosika by now. And Rava says no. There's a real nafkamina between them. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns it from the pasuk of Yom Heiras Bo, and from there it's Chasan and the case of Regal. So meaning in the case of Mitzvah. So under those circumstances, we'll postpone and delay. But if it's just Rishus, so we're not going to postpone and we're not going to delay. Masha Enkein, according to, in our gear, so we have Rebbe, but according to Rebbe, where it comes from Vitziva Ko Nufino Sabayis, so you can postpone and delay it, even for a Dvar Rishus. So there's an actual nafkamina between the two. Okay. The Rebbe Yehuda, Mehasim Lo Gamrinan. Now, what Rebbe Yehuda will tell you, meaning this is a continuation of the explanation of Rava, where Rava's of the position that there's a real nafkamina between the two positions. Meaning what Rebbe Yehuda will tell you, according to Rava, is me'asam lo gamrinan. We can't learn out from Vitziva HaKohen Ufino Sabayis, because that's a chiddush. Because the chiddushu. Because under normal circumstances, wood and stone are not subject to tumah. Here they are going to be subject to tumah. This is what's called the chiddush. Now, when the Gemara says the word chiddush, so to be understood better, meaning, isn't every mitzvah chiddush? Meaning, we would have not conjured up many of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Most of the mitzvahs of the Torah had the Torah not said so. So the fact that the Gemara says over here that it's a chiddush, what does that mean? It's a chiddush. So Tosfos Rashas, not here, but Tosfos Rashas says that a chiddush is something which is sosur saklal. In other words, the Torah gives us basic rules, and when something goes against those basic rules, so then we're going to call that a chiddush. Okay, so that's the idea behind chiddush. We'll see the term chiddush being used in numerous occasions throughout Shas. So over here, it's a chiddush. What's a chiddush over here? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's a chiddush, and that is Eitzim Vavanim normally are not subject to Tumah, and over here, they're subject to Tumah. What is the Gemara making reference to when it says Eitzim Vavanim? So there is a really interesting Rashi over here on the top of the Amud. Rashi says, Eitzim, Pshutei Kli Eitz, Lo Mekablei Tumah. It certainly sounds like from Rashi. Now, what Rashi actually means. So it happens to be, I did a little bit of research over here. It's not totally clear, but I'll say a simple pshat within Rashi. What Rashi seems to be saying is as follows. So here's what we know when it comes to Tumah Tahara. When it comes to metal, so even flatware, metal flatware is subject to Tumah. So you have a knife made out of metal, even though it doesn't have a toch, it doesn't have any, it's not a bowl, it doesn't hold something. Nevertheless, it's Tumah. That's Pshute Kli Mateches. But when it comes to eights, when it comes to wood, so the halacha is Pshute Kli eights is not Mekabel Tumah under normal circumstances. Yet, over here in a house of Tzara'as, so everything in the house is going to become Tumah, even Pshute Kli eights. Now that seems to be what Rashi's saying over here. Where's the source of this? How do we know this? How did Rashi know this? Okay, so there's much more to discuss on this particular point. Anyway, but let's just stay with the Gemara and the basic point of the Gemara. Nigei Batim is considered a chiddush, and therefore you cannot extrapolate. So even though it's true that the Kohen is going to go into the house, but before he does so, we're going to take everything out of the house, so we're going to be able to postpone and delay in order to save all the contents of the house. That point is true, but you can't extrapolate from that because it's a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because again, it's eitz and vavanim which become tameh, and the pshat that we said within Rashi. Okay. Vavanim ba'amal matamo, v'hach matamo, v'rebi amar. It's the rech. Now the counter argument, meaning, so now we just explained according to Rav Yehuda why I can't learn out from Ufino Sabayis. So now if your sheet is Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda says that you can postpone and delay the psak of the Kohen, so how, what is he going to do from based on the fact that we have two sources? So the Gemara says, Rebbe Amar Itzarech. No, it's absolutely necessary. Because if all I had was the first pasuk, so then Havamina Lidvar Mitzvah Lidvar Rishoslo. So then I would have thought that there was only limited to where can we postpone, where can we delay? Only when there's a mitzvah, like the case of the chasan. So kasar rechman v'tziva kohen. So therefore, v'tziva kohen, the second pasuk, v'i kasar rechman v'tziva kohen, hava minahani in delav tuma degufe. So I might have thought, v'tziva kohen, when can I postpone, when can I delay? When the tuma is not on your body, when the tuma is on the kelim in the house. Hava tuma degufe, ema mechseh chazeh, lay. But if the tuma is on your body itself, so under those circumstances, maybe you cannot postpone and you cannot delay. And the moment that you see that you are symptomatic towards Saras, you have to run to the Kohen. And even though there's some there's a counter consideration, you have to run to the Kohen. So Tzricha, that's why they're both necessary. Okay. So what comes out over here is that we have just according to Rava, said an actual halachic nafkamina between the two shitas and the Braisa. Meaning, how do I know that the Kohen can postpone and delay the psak of Tzara'as? So it's going to come from one of two psukim. So according to Abayu, there's no nafkamina, just simply mashmas darshin, ika beinayu, just a question of where to learn the halacha from. But it comes out to be the same point. And according to Rava, there's an actual nafkamina, an actual practical difference. And that is that what does the counter consideration have to be? Does it have to be a mitzvah? Or could it even be a dvar rishus? And that's the machlokus between the Tanaim. Amar Mar. We're on Chesam and Aleph. We're about eight lines down from the top of the Amud. And continuing, Yesh Yom She Ata Roabo, Yesh Yom She I Ata Roabo. So sometimes there's a day you see, sometimes there's a day you will not see. Okay, now, as much as we quoted the Pasuk earlier, and we made the point earlier this morning, the Gemara now has a simple question, my mashma. Meaning, how did we get from the Pasuk to the idea that you could postpone? Meaning, I understand, the chasan would love to postpone. Meaning, he's got saras on him, but he's also got a chasna later today. So the halach is that he can just simply say, let's not show the saras to the Kohen, let's go through the chasna, let's go through Sheva Brachas, and afterwards, we'll go to the Kohen and we'll deal with it afterwards. Good. So I certainly understand it. How did we generate that from the Pasuk? So the Gemara, again, is going to bring down a machlokes between Abai and Rava in terms of my mashma. How do we get it from the Pasuk? So, imkein lichtav rechman abayom. So according to Abaye, the pasuk should have said just simply the word bayom without the vav. My uva yom shmamina yeshom shataroabo v'yeshom shiataroabo. Okay, seems to be just based on the fact that there is a superfluous letter in the Torah. The vav is a yesera, and as a result of that, you just simply are now able to darshan that doesn't have to be today. Rava amar kulo kra yesera ho. So Rava says no, it's more than just a yisur of one os. It's the yisur of the whole word, or the whole word. The whole word is superfluous. Because the pasuk could have just simply said, and when you show it to the kohen. Pasuk would have made perfect sense just on that alone. Uva yom shmamina yeshem shiata rabo v'yeshem shiata rabo. Okay, and so by virtue of the fact that we have an entire word now that's superfluous, you learn from the entire word. Okay, ve'abaye. So now, as far as Abaye is concerned, meaning Abaye didn't want to go that route. Abaye is learning it from the extra vav. So obviously, for Abaye, the word bayom in of itself becomes critical. It's not superfluous. So the Gemara's question is very simple. According to Abaye, what's the critical nature of the word bayom? So So what Abaye will tell you is, I need the word bayom to teach me a halacha. Notably, yes, a kohen has to look at the tzaras. When does he have to look at the tzaras? And that is during the daytime under sunlight. All right, direct, indirect. So, but he has to look under sunlight. I mean, in other words, it cannot be quote unquote artificial light. I mean, back in the day, artificial light was a fire. But in other words, it has to be done in daytime with daylight. As far as Rav is concerned, so this idea of bayom v'lo b'layla, so where does he know it from? Meaning, because according to Rava, he's not generating it from the word of ayom, because the entire purpose of the word of ayom is coming to teach me the halacha of postponement and delay. So where does he learn out the halacha of you have to use daylight? Nafkalei melecho mareh einei hakohen. So he learns it out from a different pasuk. Mareh einei hakohen, meaning that the kohen has to have direct visualization. Meaning the kohen has to see it, and that's it. You cannot have anything that helps and facilitates the seeing. If it were night, so what do you need? You would need fire. You would need to produce light. It has to be just simply the kohen looks at it with no additional help in terms of seeing it. Right? Makes me wonder, what if the kohen needs to wear glasses? Right? Is that going to be direct, or is that going to be considered indirect? If I had to guess, I would say direct. I don't know. So anyway, v'abaye, ha'hum ibayile lemute suma b'achas me'inav. Now, as far as Abaye is concerned, no. That pasuk, l'chol marei einei ha'kohen. So Abaye says, I need the pasuk to teach me a different halacha. Notably, that the kohen has to have binocular vision. He has to be able to see out of both of his eyes. If the kohen does not have binocular vision, i.e. he cannot see out of one of his eyes, he's suma ba'achas me'inav, so the kohen can't take a look at it, right? A lot of tzaras is going to be predicated on death perception, and death perception certainly is going to be assisted and facilitated by the ability to see from both of your eyes. V'rava nami mi ba'ile lahachi. So the Gemara says, okay, now Rava agrees with that halacha, and so now it comes out that Rava is a little bit stuck, because l'chol mare einei ha'kohen. So Rava now also needs for the halacha binocular vision. So the Gemara says, "Enachinami." The Gemara says that's an excellent point. So ve'ela b'yom v'lo b'layla minale. So now what we need for Rava is a different source for b'yom v'lo b'layla. So nafkalei mechenega nirali babayis livalo la'ori. Okay, so he has a different pasuk. So the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, kanega nirali, it looks like saras. So, but the fact that it says nira means livalo la'ori. Once again, I have to direct visualization, meaning with no assistance and no aid. And if we're looking at night, there's no way I'm going to be able to see it without assistance and aid, i.e. a fire. So it must mean during the daytime. So v'abaye, so what Abaye will tell you is, mehasam hava minahani milatoma delav degufe. So the Gemara says, yeah, that pasuk over there is talking about saras of a house, meaning look at that pasuk in the context of what it's describing. That's Parshas Metzora. In Parshas Tazria, that's the tzaras of guf and the tzaras of clothing. In Parshas Metzora, which we're citing from right over here, that's the tzaras of a house. So fine. So that pasuk over there is talking about the tzaras of a house. Avatuma de gufe, afilo the oro nami. So kamash malan. But I might have thought that if without a pasuk back in Parshas Tazria, when it comes to tzaras gufo, so I might have thought that you can have assistance. You can have, it doesn't have to be daylight. It could be nighttime. With the assistance of a fire. That's what I would have thought. So kamash malan. That's why I need a pasuk. Not only in Parshas Metzora by Nigei Batim, but I also need it back in Parshas Tazria when it comes to Tzaras Aguf. Yes.
Even if you need the word bayom to tell you it's night, only during the day, how do you reconcile the
vav?
You know the
vav
is still extra.
Yeah, I hear the question. The question is, even if the bayom is taken out, the vav is extra. And so maybe, I mean, I'm guessing. I really don't know, but I'm guessing that what Rava will tell you is that the Vav by itself is not enough to create a drasha, especially to teach me a halacha regarding not this day, but a different day. Okay, something along those lines. But you're right. Okay, we continue. We are on Chesamad Aleph. We're at the Mishnah. It's about two-thirds of the way down. Ve'od amar Reb Meir. Another point regarding that was made by Reb Meir, and that's Malakit Adam Atzamos al Vivimo. A person could do Likud Atzamos for that of the remains of his father or that of his mother, Mibnei Shesimcha Hilo, because that's a Simcha. Okay, now, Likud Atzamos. So let's just do a little bit about Likud Atzamos. We're going to be hearing a lot about Likud Atzamos in the course of this Masechta. We're hearing about it in today's Daf. We're going to hear about it also in the third parak as well. So Likud Atzamos, so back in the day. So back in the day in terms of burials, so there was a couple of strange menhagim that they had back in the day in terms of burials. The Gemara Baba Basra really is the Masechta that details it the most. But the basic idea is that sometimes burial was done immediately, and then you would dig up the remains, and then you would reinter it at a later point in time, to the point where when you were digging it up, it's all the flesh was decomposed, and all you're really looking at the bones. And this is what's called the process of Likud Atzamos. So why would you do that? So Rashi over here writes, and you're going to see Rashi a couple of times throughout Shas writing this, and that is the idea that currently right now the body is not buried amongst Kivrei Avosof. In other words, there is a family burial plot, and right now, for whatever reason, so the bodies weren't buried in Kivrei Avosof, they were buried elsewhere. Okay, in other words, going back to Chumash already. So we saw that Rachel, she was buried ala derech. Okay, it happens. And sometimes it happens that for whatever reasons they're not buried within Kivrei Avosof. So what they used to do under those circumstances is that they would dig up the body and then reinter the body into Kivrei Avosof. So this is a process called Likud Atzamos. At a later point in time in this Masechta, otherwise known as the third parak. So we're going to be talking about what kind of avelus needs to be done for the process of Likud Atzamos. Okay. Our Mishnah over here is going to be dealing with only one issue, and that is, can I do it on Chol HaMoed? And then for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be talking about other burial procedures that can or cannot be done on Chol HaMoed. Right? The upshot, of course, is that you can bury on Chol HaMoed. Right? On Shabbos, you can't bury. On Yom Kippur, you cannot bury. What about Yontif? So hopefully you remember back in Masechta Beitza. So we discussed that issue, if my memory is good. So it was back on Davav and Beitza, where we discussed this very issue of whether or not you could bury on Yontif. If you recall, so the upshot over there was that on the second day, meaning on Yontif Sheni, so the Chachamim were matir for burial. It's not our minhag nowadays, we don't do it, but there is, according to the letter of the law, you're allowed to bury on Yontif Sheni. On Yontif Rishon, you could bury Al Yedei Amamim, through a Nachri. So you're allowed to bury on Yontif Rishon. So there is an allowance to bury on Yontif. Limited, but there's an allowance. Chol HaMoed, absolutely you're allowed to bury on Chol HaMoed. So with that stated, so now what we're going to be talking about are, what else can one do on Chol HaMoed as it relates to burial? So here in our Mishnah, it's a funny starting point for the whole discussion, but here in our Mishnah, we're talking about Likud Atzamos. Can I do Likud Atzamos on Chol HaMoed? So it's a machlokus. So Va'od Amar Reb Meir Malakit Adam Atzamos Aviv V'Imam Min Mishas Simcha Hilo. So Shitas Reb Meir is that, yes, you're allowed to. Now, the simplest pshat of the Mishnah is that Reb Meir says, why are you allowed to? Because it's Simcha Hilo. It's a Simcha. Now that, of course, needs an explanation. That's a Simcha. Rashi writes over here, So in other words, right now, currently, your mother, your father are not buried in Kivrei Avosov. You would like them to be buried in Kivrei Avosov. So you have the angst and the anxiety of them not being buried in Kivrei Avosov, and now finally you get to move them to Kivrei Avosov. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. That's what it means. The Mishnah means when it says that Simcha Hilo. That's a Simcha.
Maybe he knows that his parents would be happy.
Okay, right. It could very well be. I'm not sure if that's going to govern what's going to be allowed and not allowed in Chol HaMoed. Meaning, there's okay. I think I'm saying over the simple pshat, but yeah, I hear. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer Aval Hulo. Now Rabbi Yossi says, no. What are you talking about? Just the opposite. It's Avelos. Meaning, but Avelos over here just simply in the context of it's not Simcha. It's the opposite of Simcha. Meaning, of course, it's sad and over here that would shtir Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is Yontif. Yontif, you have to be in a state of Simcha. And so according to Rabbi Yossi, no, it's not Simcha, it's Evel. And as a result of that, what Rabbi Yossi would tell you to do is, let's do this after Chol HaMoed. After Yontif, let's take care of it, but not in Chol HaMoed itself. So lo yarore adam ad meso v'lo yasbidenu kodem l'regel shoshim yom. So a person is not allowed to rouse himself over the dead, nor hire safdanim 30 days prior to Yontif. So within 30 days prior to Yontif, so you can't hire a safdan, you can't hire somebody to eulogize, okay, for reasons which we're going to explain in the Gemara. Okay, v'riminu. The Gemara starts off the discussion with a b'raisa. The b'raisa over here is a Masechta Smachos. Masechta Smachos sounds strange, right? Which seder is that in? It's one of the Masechtas Ketanos. It's one of the quote-unquote smaller Masechtos that doesn't really have a home in terms of a seder. But nevertheless, it's a collection of b'raisas. Smachos, as you could probably guess and imagine, has to do with Simcha is a euphemism, right? It means joy, but it's a reference to funerals and burial. So in Masechtas Smachos, so the following. Hamalakit atzamos avi v'imo hareze misaba aleim kol hayom ul'erevein misaba aleim. So if you go through the process of likud atzamos, so you are going to be misabel that day. Now that day, it's the brisa says kol hayom, the entire day, and then ul'erevein that evening ein misaba aleim. So in other words, avelos is for one day, on the day that you actually do the process of likud atzamos. V'amar Rav Chista afilu tzurim lo b'sadino, and Rav Chista says is that, let's say, you don't actually handle the bones. You don't actually see the bones. Nevertheless, they're in some sort of bag. They're in some sort of cover. Nevertheless, you would still go through the process of this avails for that one day. And so what bothers the Gemara now is that for Shita's Rav Meir, so this really seems to be going directly opposed to the Shita Rav Meir. In our Mishnah, Rav Meir says that you could do Likud Atzamos because Simcha Hilo, because it's a Simcha. What do you mean? First of all, in the Mishnah itself, Rav Yossi says, no, it's not Simcha, it's Eva. But Rav Yossi was talking about it sharing your Simchas Yantav. But still, the idea behind Rabbi Meir that it's a Simcha, the Braisa in Smachos that we just saw together says, your mom is observing avails for that one day. So how in the world could you suggest that it's a Simcha when meanwhile the halachos of avails dictates that you're a novel for that one day of Likud Atzamos? So Amar Abaye, Eimem Nisha Simchas HaRegel Alav. So now Abaye says, based on what we just learned in Smachos, we're going to have to say a new pshat altogether in the Braisa. The Braisa does not mean that the process of Likud Atzamos is Simcha. That's not the pshat. But rather, the pshat in the Braisa is, or I should say better, the pshat in the Mishnah is that you have Simchas HaRegel Alav, meaning that the Simchas HaRegel is going to be so strong, so really, normally Likud Atzamos would bother you, but over here it's not going to bother you to that degree because the Simcha of Yontif is going to go ahead and basically overshadow that of whatever sadness would come about from the process of Likud Atzamos. Okay. V'lo ya'arer al meso. My lo ya'arer al meso, the Gemara asks a simple question. What does the Mishnah mean by that? So Amar Rav Kadhadar Savdana, b'marava amre yavkun ame kol merire liba. Basically hiring eulogizers. So they would hire eulogizers in order to help arouse the proper emotions over that of the mace, and that's what it means. Lo ya'arer mesa kodem regel shoshim yom. So now, when can you not hire a safdan within 30 days of a yontif? So maishna shoshim yom. So the question over here is really simple: why you're not allowed to hire a eulogizer within 30 days of yontif? Why should that be? So amrav kahana, amrav yehuda, amrav maisa ba'adam echad shekines ma'osav la'alos regel va'safdan va'amad al pesach beso. So according to Rav, it's based on the following anecdote. The story occurred where a man was collecting money because he was doing Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, in other words, trip to Israel. Okay, all right. Not exactly in the modern sense of the cost of flights, but whatever. In other words, travels an expense, and so therefore he was collecting. And over there, back in the day, we're describing where it was actual Aliyah L'Regel. And Uvas Avdan V'Amen Al Pesach Beso. And along comes the Savdan, right? A eulogizer. So his profession is that he eulogizes. He's good at it. He gets the proper emotions out of people. And ubeso v'nat la san ishto v'nat san lo. And so his wife wanted to hire the saftan. Okay. And she did. And so she took the money that they were saving for their travel, their expense account to go to Yerushalayim for Alil, for the mitzvah of Alil Rego. So she took the money and she hired the saftan. V'nimna v'lo Allah. And as a result of that, obviously, all the money now was spent, and so they didn't make Aliyah L'Regel. So, So over here, really interesting and somewhat unusual in that. Because of this incident, because of this episode, so we see that 30 days prior to Yom Tov, so people are saving up. So now if we allow the purchasing of a safdan, so then people are going to take their money that they're saving up for Aliyah L'Regel, and they're going to be spending on the safdan. Okay, right? There are many other ways that money could be diverted for other interests, and why over here that we're worried specifically about the safdan and that the money is going to be diverted for that and for nothing else? Okay, I don't fully understand. But according to Rav, so because of this episode, so, and again, it's one of those events where we have an anecdote and the Chachamim were gozer based on an anecdote. I've said this before, I'll say it again, right? The anecdote over here is probably a reflection of, meaning it probably was not a one-time occasion, probably happened on more than one occasion. The Gemara just simply happens to give us one story. It's impossible to imagine that the Chachamim made Xera just based on one episode, on one incident. Okay. Anyway, but...
people's emotions.
Right. Correct. I was thinking that as well, meaning that this is very emotional, and that right, and then that's why people are going to be spending for this particular thing. Anyway, that's all the shita of Rav. So Rav says it's a pragmatic issue. If the safdanim can collect money, so everyone's going to be spending on safdanim instead of spending it on the expenses to go to Eretz Yisrael. Ushmul Amar Shmuel gives a different shot as we now are on the top of the Amud Beis. So for Shmuel, the issue is as follows. You hear a really good eulogy about a family member within 30 days of Yom Tov. So now what's going to happen is, for those next 30 days, you're going to have that on your mind. It's going to make you sad. And what is that going to do? It's going to stir your Simchas Yom Tov. So again, this is thematically connected to the previous Mishnah. Meaning the previous Mishnah, we were talking about going to the Kohen in order to diagnose whether or not you have Tzaras or not. And the issue is that if he has to break the news to you, they have Tzaras, it's going to share your Simchas Yom Tov. This Mishnah over here now, according to Shmuel, is in perfect alignment. Over here, if you hear a wonderful eulogy within 30 days, so what's going to happen now for the next 30 days is that you're going to be in a state of morose, and that's going to go against Simchas Yom Tov. My Beinau Yika Beinau De Ka'avid Bechinam. Now, there's going to be a nafkamina between the Sheet of Rav and the Sheet of Shmuel. Meaning, what if the Safdanim don't charge? What if they do it? They do it pro bono. They do it for free. So under those circumstances, so Rav would then be of the position that you could hire one within 30 days of Yom Tov. And according to Shmuel, this has nothing to do with money. This has everything to do with your mood and emotions and the fact that you want to be happy on Yom Tov. And if you hear a eulogy within 30 days, you won't be happy. That would be a nafkamina between the two reasons.
According to the Gemara, it seems that Bo Yarer and Bo Yaspidenu Mishnah is the same exact same thing, which is very
non-mishnaic. And not only that, the vav makes it certainly sound like they're two separate activities. Sure. Yep. David, it's a wonderful point. I don't know. It could be, okay, if I could suggest, it could be that the lo ya'arer means that the death occurred a while back, right? Whatever. And it just happens to be that you're in the mood right now for a good eulogy. That could be. And lo yasfidenu, if you look back at Rashi in the Mishnah, he writes, she'im eis lameis besoch shoshim yom. Meaning there, the eulogy is founded on the fact that there's an actual death. And there still, you shouldn't hire the eulogizer. So it could be that, even though you're right, they're both talking about eulogies, the former is talking about where the death occurred earlier, and the safdan, the second case, is talking about where he died. They actually died. And still you have to postpone. Okay, that could be. We're on the Mishnah on Chesamad Beis. Ein chofrin kuchen v'kvaros b'moed. So digging the plot. So the burial plot. So ein chofrin kuchen v'kvaros b'moed. So you're not allowed to do so on Chol HaMoed. Now you're not allowed to do so on Chol HaMoed. So how are you going to bury if you can't dig up the plot? So that's a little bit strange. So the way Rashi presents it, ein chofrin kuchen v'kivros. Ukvaros litzorich mesim. Shadarkin lach for kuchen vikvaros lizamnam litzorich mesim. Shiamusu de tirch yaserahu. So the way Rashi presents it, of course, it makes a lot of sense. It makes perfect sense. And that is that we're not talking about where there's an actual mace. If there's an actual mace, so of course you're going to have to dig. What we're talking about over here is in preparation and anticipation. Okay. There is halachic literature about whether or not a person is dying. So can you start now actually digging his burial plot? Okay. And you can imagine. It's a sensitive issue. It's an emotional issue. I'm not going to get involved. You ask your Rav. But nevertheless, over here, with the way our Mishnah and the Rashi over here is just simply talking about generically, meaning that, in other words, the cemetery, the funeral director just feels that, you know what, we're going to be in better shape if we just have them already pre-dug. Not for anyone in particular, it's just that, you know, it'll just make it easier. So that way, in the case of when the need comes about, so we already have a hole in the ground. So what the Mishnah is now telling us is that you can't do that in Chol HaMoed. Why? Because now that there's no actual mace, so that represents now a Tircha Yisera, and that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Ava mechanchen esakuchen b'moed. But what you could do is you could be mechanech esakuchen. Okay, what does that mean? Rashi says, let's wait. The Gemara is going to explain. V'osin nivreches b'moed. One is allowed to make a nivreches. What does that mean? Again, I'm going to ask, we all wait. The Gemara is going to explain. Nivreches b'moed. V'aron im hames b'chatzer. You can go ahead and prepare the aron, right? That's the actual coffin itself. And it has to be together in conjunction with the mace, meaning the mace has to be in the chatzer as well. The Gemara is going to explain. It's really a predicate of marasayin, meaning people are seeing you building something in your front yard. What are you doing on Chol HaMoed? But if the mace is right there, so then everyone understands exactly what you're doing. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Ela Im Ken Yesh Imo Nisarim. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that it would be Oser, unless you already have beams there. So in other words, there already has to be some cut beams there already, so that everyone understands that you're going in and building, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, there needs to be more to mitigate against Marasayin. So my kuchin, my kvara. So the Gemara's question over here is very simple. What exactly does the Mishnah mean when it says kuchin and kvara? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, kuchin bechafira, ukvaros bebinyan. Okay, so kuchin and kvaros are two different types of burial structures. A kuchin is a hole in the ground, and a kever is a binyan. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, in other words, I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to take my modern sensibilities of what we used to bury, and I'm going to apply to the Gemara over here. I don't think that's right. Meaning, you know, there's a mitzvah to bury in the ground. So when we talk about kuchin bechafira, you're digging in the ground, so that makes sense. But then when the Gemara says in kvaros is bebinyan, it can't be talking about a mausoleum. In other words, there's a mitzvah to bury in the ground. So a binyan must be referring to some sort of edifice, and I'm just ready to admit, I don't fully understand what it is. But it can't be above ground. It's got to be something below ground. Whatever the case is, okay. Okay,
They used to bury them in the cave first.
Right, that's the Gemara in Baba Basra. Right. Okay, fine. Or whatever the case is, it's some sort of structure. But anyway, there are two different structures that were popular in the day. Tayyina mihachi elo and kuchim elo and kvaros kuchim bechafir vekvaros bebinyan. Okay, and the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa makes exactly this point. The Braisa uses the exact same language. Okay. Ava mechanchen es ha-kuchen, ketsa mechanchen. Okay, so the Mishnah describes that with these kuchen now, which is a kind of burial structure, so you could do the process of chinuch. Okay, we know chinuch in terms of, right, to educate your son and train him in doing mitzvahs, sons and daughters. Over here, when we're talking about chinuch, what do we mean over here when we talk about chinuch ha-kuchen? So I'm reviewed a shimaya aruch mekatzro, and b'masita tanamarich bo umarchiv bo. Basically, configuration to size, meaning that you have a standard size in which it was dug, and then it turns out that the mace is right now a different size. So, and under those circumstances, mechanech just simply means that you'll reconfigure as per needed. The osin nevreches. The Mishnah says that you can make a nevreches. Okay, the Gemara's question over here is very simple. What is that? So, my nevreches, I'm reviewed as a bekia. So, it's a bekia. Now, the word beka means basically a crack or a split. It basically means a hole in the ground. And what are you making a hole in the ground for? For the collection of water. So v'hatanya nivreches v'abikia. Now the Gemara quotes a braisa. The braisa over here clearly understands nivreches to be something different, because the braisa says that one can construct a nivreches and a bikia. Okay, so we have a problem. So I'm Rabbi Vitem Rav Kahana Gia Bar Ubargia. So Rav Kahana's solution over here is very simple, and that is that there's a big one and there's a smaller one. There's a gia and there's a bar gia. Okay, the bigger one is where you're collecting most of the water, and the smaller one is for the overflow. Rashi writes over here, Gio bar gia, brecha gedola she'osim b'chatzer, she'ikansebo kol ha'shovchim. So basically you have some sort of water, it's coming off, let's just say the roof. Okay, and right, we have some sort of we have some sort of sewage system, but back in the day, so you just simply made a hole in the ground in order to collect the runoff. And Bikia Bargia Brecha Katana shows from Samach LeGadola. Kidei she kanso hamayim meyotzim min haGadola Katana. And then if there's extra runoff, so then you created a smaller depository. Shimalev nechnasim leKatana, so that it goes into the smaller one. Okay, and that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Interesting, by the way, what are you doing with this water that you just collected? So Rashi back in the Mishnah, so he writes Brecha Shel Kovsim. So it's water that's going to be using for laundry. Now that's interesting because we're going to talk later in the Masechta about laundry and Chol HaMoed and whether or not you're allowed to do laundry and Chol HaMoed. So, but it's certainly interesting because from Rashi, what it sounds like is that you can go ahead and dig the hole in the ground in order to collect the water for laundry. Okay, and then you're actually doing laundry. Okay, so that's certainly interesting. What do we do here? Let's stop. Let's stop over here. We're going to talk about getting married on Chol HaMoed. We're going to talk about you're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. We're going to give an assortment of reasons why you're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. A little bit of Agarata coming up in tomorrow's daf. We'll save all that for tomorrow. It's a good place to start. It's a pretty good place to stop. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. You don't have tzaras, even though you actually have tzaras, but you don't have tzaras until the Kohen says so. It's true for you. It's true for your houses as well. The psak of the Kohen is going to give you tzaras. So how do I know that? So we started off our daf today with a brisa citing two different psukim in terms of how do I know this information? Is there a difference between these two shitas? So Abai and Rava debate whether or not there's a nafkamina. There's no nafkamina. Abai says there's no nafkamina. Rava says there is a nafkamina. The nafkamina would be Dvar Shus versus Dvar Mitzvah. Okay. I didn't get to the Mishnah?
No.
Ah. Baruch Hashem, thank you. Okay, thank you for fact-checking. The Aron im ameis bechatzar, tani la'adatan, Rabban also called tzorch ameis. Okay, he could take care of tzorch ameis and chol HaMoed. Goes in lo sa'ar, he could cut his hair. I don't know a single chever kedisha that does that, but, okay, it's if necessary. Umechaps in lo ksuso. You can wash the clothing. Va'os in lo aron menasrin ha'menesurim merev yomtov. So, and you can go ahead and make an aron. It just happens to be that the beams have to be cut before Yantav. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar Afmevian, Eitzim, Umanasram, Bitsina, Besoch, Beso. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if necessary, you can cut the beams even within your house. You do so privately. Besoch, Beso. Okay. Right. Tosis raises your issue. Okay, good. Okay, very good. Okay, and just going back to the Chazara. How do I know that the Kohen could postpone and delay? So it's based on it's based on the Pasuk Uvayom. So, and which of them, the extra Vav is the whole word. Machlok is between Abai and Rava. Good. That took us to the Mishnah. An Chesem and Aleph. An Chesem and Aleph. Likud Atzamas. Can I do Likud Atzamas on Chol HaMoed? Machlok is HaTanayim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Can I hire a saftan? So the Mishnah says no. Not only can you not hire a saftan on Chol HaMoed, that for sure is going to share your Simchas Yontif, you can't even hire a saftan within 30 days of Yontif. So why not? So Machlok is once again between Rav and Shmuel. What Rav says the issue is that you're going to be diverting your funds that you were collecting in order to pay for your travel expenses, and now you're going to be diverting it and using it for the saftan. And Shmuel says that the issue is an emotional issue. Meaning that once you eulogize 30 days within Yontif, so then you're going to be sad for those next 30 days, and it's going to stir your Simchas Yontif. The digging up of Kuchin and Kavaros, so you can't do so, meaning if there's no need. So you can't dig it up. That's what's called Tirchi Yisera. But what you're allowed to do is that if there's an actual mace, so you can do everything to tend to the mace itself. And the Mishnah also talked about digging some sort of pit in order to collect the overflow water that's coming off the rooftops. But anyway, but basically in the course of the Amud Beis, so we did the Mishnah, the Gemara that talks about taking care of the actual mace itself on Chol HaMoed. You could do so. Anything that is necessary in order for the proper burial of the mace.